Welcome to The Sweet Spot. I'm your host, Corey Bradley. The NFL Draft has concluded, the day that we've been talking about for months and episodes that Chris and I have produced. And finally, it's in the books. And, you know, every team feels like they've nailed the draft. Every team comes away thinking, like, wow, this is the class that's going to change the world for them. And that's nowhere near the case. Not every team actually does as well as they think. But, you know, Chris, as we talk about the draft, and you really have to highlight the way it began. And what I'm primarily getting to is six of the top 12 picks were quarterbacks. offense were the first 14 picks before your
which
Colts.
Is a record.
Yeah. So, I mean, what were your thoughts as that transpired? I mean, QBs going in the top 12, the first 14 selections all on the offensive side of the ball. What were some of your thoughts before, as the draft unfolded?
It's definitely surprising. If you had told me six quarterbacks went in the first, I wouldn't have been shocked.
Yeah.
But if you had told me six quarterbacks went in the top 12, I would have been, huh, really? You know, that's where the surprise comes in, right? I mean, we've talked, it was kind of known, you know, talked ad nauseum before the draft, how stacked of an offensive group this draft was. I mean, it's just, holy smokes, the amount of tackles, the receivers, it was just such a good quarterback. So it was just such a strong offensive draft. And I mean, I guess the selections back that up, right? And
Yeah.
But it's still wild to see. You never know how the draft's going to go. So to see it play out in real time, and yeah, like you said, we were the first defensive pick at 15, which is insane. So it's definitely surprising. But I mean, you talk about surprising, right? I mean, there's a certain pick that kind of has everyone talking, right?
Yeah, you know, you got Caleb Williams go number one to the Bears, Jaden Daniels two to Washington, Drake May to the Patriots, Penix Jr. 8th to the Falcons. That's where, you know, and it's funny because I had the same feeling when, and I'll tell you what happened. Roger Goodell comes out, he's preparing to announce the pick for the Falcons, and he has this smirk on his face. And I mean, it just kind of, when he walked out, it's like he was preparing to drop a bomb. That's how it felt. He had a bombshell to drop for the whole audience. And it reminded me of a year or so ago when the NBA draft, Adam Silver was coming out to announce the number one pick, and everybody assumed it was going to be Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren for the Orlando Magic. And Adam, I promise you, like, Adam Silver came out, he just had this huge smirk on his face, like, oh boy, you know, you guys have no idea what name is on this card, and it's about to shock you. And it was Paolo Banchero, number one pick to Orlando Magic. And that's exactly how I felt. So, you know, I'm keeping notes as the draft unfolds, and I'm trying to, you know, tab highlights that we can talk about when it comes to our episode. And that's exactly the moment and the reaction that was brought to my remembrance was when Roger Goodell walked out for the number 8 pick, he had this huge smirk on his face that let me know, like, this is something juicy right here. And sure enough, it was. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback from Washington, goes number 8 to the Falcons after Kirk Cousins, you know, just signed a 4-year deal, $100 million guaranteed. Yep. But you said it. You said prior to the draft in our most recent episode, watch for the Falcons to possibly take a quarterback with that number 8 pick.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say I wasn't surprised by it. I'd say I said that, and I do believe that they should have been in discussion, but it would have still been like a less than 50% chance. Like, I'm still shocked that they took him, you know, and especially at 8. In my head, I was thinking, like, they could be in, like, a potential, like, McCarthy spot, because that was kind of the next quarterback everybody had, right? But according, you know, from listening to their GM and their team talk, I mean, Penix was their number 2 quarterback.
Okay, wow. Okay.
They had him right behind Caleb Williams.
Okay.
So, which is interesting, right?
Yeah.
And I'll say this, like, I love Michael Penix Jr. I like him probably more than most of the media graded him, but I just don't like the selection, man. I tried really hard to kind of look at it and I kind of see why they would do it. But to me, if it's like, if you think Penix is that dude and you know, you're pretty confident you're going to take him at 8, just go get a bridge quarterback to me.
Yeah.
Well, I go give all that money to Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, I love getting Cousins, but if that's the case, like, in my head, I'm like, okay, well, you're trying to win. Like, you got this 2 year, 2 to 4 year window. Let's go win. And as big of a fan of Michael Penix as I am, like, he's not going to, you know, unless Cousins gets hurt, which you don't want anyway, like, he's not going to help you do that. And so it's just it's two contrasting, like, philosophies going on, right? Like, yeah. Cousins is suggesting they're going all in, and then Penix is saying, okay, now we're not going all, we're gonna wait till the future.
Yeah. Right? That's true.
That's the struggle for me. And I can see why they did it. I get the argument. I don't personally like it. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, what I had highlighted once that selection was made, I have love the player, not the pick.
Yep.
So I'm with you. Same thing. Michael Penix Jr., man. I you know, my number one quarterback, I love Jaden Daniels, man, and I'm a huge fan of Michael Penix Jr. Caleb Williams, we'll see, man. You know, he's a little cocky for me, man. I'm not really sure, but not saying he can't turn out to be a baller. He's in an excellent situation to excel with the Bears, where they helped him with Adunze and Keenan Allen and Swift and DJ Moore. But Penix Jr., man, like you said, it just doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to give Cousins a 4-year deal, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed, and then you use that top 10 pick on a quarterback, and see, the thing is, I like my rookie quarterbacks to come in and sit a year or two. You know, we've talked about that. I'm a huge proponent and believer about my rookie QB sitting a year or two and not being rushed into the spotlight if they're not ready. So, like you said, as you mentioned, okay, if that's your philosophy, go with that bridge type quarterback. Get a Tyrod Taylor or a Gardner Minshew type player and let him carry it for a year or two until your guy is ready. So it makes you wonder. I mean, you know, do you know how we talk about, okay, is this the best player available, and you take your best player available, mm-hmm. or like Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin talked about, okay, do you take the best player available at a position of need? And we know that that's not a position of need for them, because you just committed to Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed for sure, you know? And now he's 35. He's coming off that Achilles injury, so that's concern there. I understand that. But as I've talked about, okay, if you've already committed to Cousins, okay, go back later and get you a quarterback, a younger guy that can mold in a year or two and see where he's progressed, and maybe he's the next successor for Cousins. But, yeah, like I said, love the player. Not the pick. I love Penix Jr. Just didn't understand at 8 that the Falcons would make that move. I didn't expect it to be that move. Man, what you live in Georgia, man. What's in the office at the workplace? What's some of the reaction that has taken place with some of the Falcons fans there?
We have one Falcons fan who is, whether it's, you know, just acceptance at this point or what, but they like it. They're all in on it. They understand why they're doing it. Pretty much every other Falcons fan I've talked to in the building is completely not, and they're all picking on the one poor, you know, Falcons. Sorry, Ricky, I know we're picking on you at work, but it's just it's definitely still mostly negative. And like you said, like I mean, I kind of get it. And if I can try and play the advocate, right, it's like after 2 years, his guarantees are up. Kirk Cousins' guarantees are up.
Yeah.
So in theory, after 2 years, they could cut him. They'll still have a dead cat, don't get me wrong, but it won't be in the negative. They can move on. It also kind of makes sense where Michael Penix is like, he's the most, on paper, like pro-ready quarterback, probably behind Jaden Daniels in this draft. He's an older prospect. He's been in like kind of a pro system. Like, he can come in, probably step in and play.
Yeah.
And so that kind of also goes against it. But it's, yeah, like it's the bridge quarterback for me. Yeah, go get it. Go get Minshew. Go get Taylor. Go get, I mean, like a Brissett. Like, I just don't.
It's Joe Flacco. I don't get that.
Yeah. I also get, like, in theory, if you're like, okay, well, we're going to be good the next 2 years. We're never going to be top 10 again. Okay, I get that. But again, go get a bridge then. It's just like I said, two contrasting philosophies. I don't love it. But yeah, that's the big surprise of the draft. That's going to be the talk of it for ages. But it's not always. I know that's the big one, but there's other surprises too. You never, nobody ever knows what's going to go on in a draft, right? I mean, we do all the mocks that we do. Everybody has the big draft boards. All the media does. Nobody knows. It's a lot of fun, but nobody really knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So what about you? Was there a pick besides, obviously, the Penix one, but besides the Penix one, was there a pick or that just you went, huh, okay, I didn't expect that. Is there something that stood out to you?
Oh, for sure, man. And it's surprising because of the pick and the position. You do have to take into consideration that this franchise is going through a changing of the guard at head coach and general manager. So you consider that because, you know, you look at preferences and it's like, okay, as a GM, this guy doesn't really fit what I believe at this position. And because I've done the same thing on Madden and MLB The Show and NBA 2K, and it's certain teams, it's like, I get this team, it's like, I don't like this player, I'm trading him for a thing. Like I've had the Timberwolves and Ricky Rubio was gone day one, you know, like he'd have a shot, but he's not my type of point guard, you know. But the Carolina Panthers, they traded up with the Colts to 46. And they took a running back from Texas, Jonathan Brooks. Didn't understand taking a running back in the second, and you traded up to get him when you already have Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard. Like, you know, like that's a formidable group. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like there's more needs. There's other needs than trading up and taking another running back when you've already committed to Sanders for several years. And like I said, Hubbard's really been the best of the group in the last couple of years. You know, so that's a pick I didn't really care too much for. And, you know, another move Carolina made, they moved up from 33 to 32, you know, the Bills. They traded 33 and 141 to move up to 32. And fell back 59 spots from 141 to 200. So they traded 33 and 141 and got 32 and 200. They moved up to get the receiver, Legette, from South Carolina. I don't know if the Bills were taking. I guess that's why they moved. It's like, well, man, the Bills need a receiver, and maybe they're going to take our guy. But to move back 59 spots, to just move up one, and it's like, I'm not sure if that guy is that kind of difference maker, but those are the surprising picks that I had, and they both came from Carolina. I don't know, man. I mean, what are your thoughts on those picks before you share yours? I mean, the Brooks and the Legette receiver. Like, what are your thoughts on those two selections? Did you have a problem with it, or did you kind of see like it made sense?
I could kind of – the Brooks one surprised me a little bit more just because like there were some other solid running backs that you could have – you didn't have to trade up. You could have waited. Maybe you don't get Brooks, maybe not. But I think they could have – still filled a spot. Don't get me wrong, I think Brooks is he was my number one running back, and I think Brooks is a stud, but I just don't love the value of that trade. I think they could have gotten a running back elsewhere. Xavier Legette is interesting because of where they got him. You know, we can only go off, you know, you and I can only go off kind of consensus mocks and things like that. We have no idea how teams stack it, but most mocks had him going as like a late second, maybe early third type of guy.
Wow.
And then he goes 32, which Ricky Pearsall, kind of the same thing. He was kind of a second, early third, too. So kind of same thing right before them, right? Because Xavier Legette, he's a little bit more raw. He had like kind of the one really productive year. But he's I can kind of understand what they're going for. He's a really good athlete. Like, his speed for his size is very unique, right? Trying to get weapons around Bryce. And I guess that's the same thing with Brandon Brooks, right? Like, I can kind of see what they're going for. But to me, I'm like, their issue wasn't – I mean, don't get me wrong. I guess to say that, they have a lot of issues. They needed skilled players. They needed offensive line help because Bryce was getting killed back there. Like, I guess in their defense is they're just trying to get weapons. But they need help everywhere. And when you lose, you're giving up draft capital to maybe – you're not going to be able to fill holes as well. Yeah, it's questionable. But the Brooks is really the one that has me scratching my head.
Yeah.
But for me, my surprise pick – I will gloss over pick 15, Leatu Latu, as a Colts fan. I'm not going to get too into it, but that one did surprise me. I'm going to talk about my team a little bit later. But my other one, this is, and I'm going to cheat a little bit because I'm going to go back to Atlanta, actually. And I'm going to say that their second round pick, Rook or Roro, and yes, that is how you say his name. Shout out, Rook. I like Rook. And I don't – like, I think he's going to be a good player. He was somebody I had a bunch of draft notes on players that I thought made sense for the Colts and guys that I liked. And I mean, there was other – I've talked about Adisa Isaac. There's other guys I preferred. But I had Rook on my list as guys as I like, and I thought he'd be good. We just didn't really need defensive tackle. But, gosh, Johnny Newton was still on the board. And Johnny Newton, I thought, could have been a top 15 pick, and I wouldn't have been – I think Johnny Newton's a beast. And to me, I'm like, if you want a defensive tackle – I mean, I've read and listened to a lot of people smarter than me who had Johnny Newton as their number one tackle, even over Byron Murphy. Like, I think he's really, really good. And the Falcons had a chance for him, man, in the top of the second. And so I mean, it's kind of like Penix, right? It's they're saying, no, we don't care what everybody else thinks. These are our guys, and we're going to go get them. And
yeah,
I mean, I respect it, but gosh, it's just, I don't know. I just think it's a surprise pick. It was a surprise pick one after the other for me with Atlanta. I don't agree with them, I guess is what I'll say. I can see why they do it, but at least with the second round pick, I'm like, man, Johnny Newton was on the board. I would have much rather had Newton over Rook, and I like Rook, but hey, what's done is done, right? To say that, Johnny Newton goes right after him to Washington.
Yeah, yeah. But also, and I'm going to let you get back to Washington because they had an excellent draft too, but you talking about that pick the Falcons made, they traded up to make that selection. They traded up from 43. They traded up from 43 to 35, and in the process, they gave up a third rounder. So they move up 8 spots, gave up a third rounder, and they get the guy that you believe, like, this guy doesn't fit at all. This is not the, if you're going to move up and make the pick, it has to be, wow, come on, man.
Yeah, and to me, it's Johnny. Johnny's the guy to me if you're going to do that.
Golly. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't, like,
if you're making that
move, I could see, if Johnny wasn't there, I'd be slightly more okay with it. But then at that point, I wouldn't trade up for him because I don't think he's on that tier personally. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, hey, you know, what's done is done, but that was the Atlanta was just full of surprises for me, man. They went heavy on defensive line too. So they traded up for a defensive lineman. They took 2 more defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They really went heavy on defensive linemen in this draft. But gosh, they could have had arguably the best one. They just decided not to. Hey, I mean, we'll see, right? We never know. Come draft time, it might come out that Rook is significantly better and outplays him, and hey, power to Atlanta. Right now, to me, I don't like it. You never know, but I don't like it right now.
Oh, boy. So both of our surprises come from the NFC North. I mean, NFC South. NFC South. NFC South, and they got Carolina Panthers, and you got the Atlanta Falcons, both.
All of that tracks, right? That division's been struggling. So
yeah, that's a division right there that just it just makes sense, right? That's a division where you can win 9-8. If you win 9 games, you know you're probably one of your division. That's what that division is. Like I said, it just kind of makes sense that's where. Yeah, wow, Falcons and Panthers, man. Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you 100%. And like I said, to make that kind of move, because you know how I love my day 2 picks. I love my second and third round picks. And so for them to trade up the way they did and give up a third rounder in the process, then like you said, you don't get Johnny Newton, and he's available on the board. It's quite a head scratcher for sure, man. Now we talk about surprise picks. I mean, what are some teams that you feel like? I mean, a lot of teams did well, and every team feels like they every team leaves the draft thinking they've nailed it. You know, like that's what every team like. Man, we had an excellent job. We're back. But that's not always the case. But we are going to highlight a team or two, but who was one of those franchises that stood out to you that you would like to highlight in this scenario?
Man, I hate to gas you up, but it's the Steelers for me, man. Yeah. I thought the Steelers crushed this draft.
Yeah,
just about every player you guys took were guys that, like, I would have been happy having an indie. They were all guys I personally liked. And then, you know, I texted you during the draft, and I said, man, that's just a physical draft. They just look like a Steelers draft.
Yeah,
like, it's a bunch of tough, physical dudes. And I mean, Troy Fatanu could have been a top 10 pick, and I wouldn't have been surprised. Zach Frazier was a guy that you liked. Potentially there in the first, right?
And yeah.
Roman Wilson was a guy that I wouldn't have hated an indie. Really tough, just receiver, run blocker. He can play around the field a little bit. Mason McCormick was a guy that I liked. Peyton Wilson was. I mean, that I think the Steelers just killed it, man. I ain't saying it just because you're on the show. I think you guys crushed the draft, and I mean, yeah, hats off to. So that front office, you know, Omar Khan, you said you weren't sure what he was going to do. Well, dang, man, on paper right now, he nailed it.
Man, you know, Fatanu, man, that was one where, you know, they spoke in the post-draft press conference and talked about how, you know, there were talks about moving up, there were talks about moving back, and it's like, as he continued to get closer and closer to 20, you know, Tomlin said, we weren't moving off. We weren't moving off Troy. We weren't moving off Troy. There was no way. You know, Omar Khan said the 10 minutes that the 10 minutes the Rams had at 19, he said that was the longest 10 minutes of his life. You know, like seeing what the Rams do at 19. And so Mike Tomlin said he is not joking. He said he is not joking. He was wearing me out, man. You know, so it lets you know how high they had Patano on the board. And it was, you know, they were surprised to have him on available at 20. And, you know, I talked about, like, I didn't think it would be tackle, but at the same time, they didn't think this tackle would be available at 20, you know. And to have that guy who they were super high on, and, you know, there's a few talks going around that you hear somebody in the background when they're making a call to Troy, and Tomlin's talking to Troy, and one of the guys on the staff is in the background saying 7 out of 20, 7 out of 20. And there's a, did the Steelers have Troy number 7 on the board overall? And that was the talk, but Omar Khan was on Pat McAfee's show, and Pat McAfee asked him about that. He's like, what did the 7 out of 20 mean? And he said, man, I'm not sure, but he's like, it could be that there were 7 Pac-12 players taken out of 20. And when he said that, I was like, oh, I went back and looked at it. Sure enough, the top 20 picks, 7 came from the Pac-12. So that could have been the scenario, you know, that could have been what that was alluding to. But yeah, man, Fatano at first, and, you know, I wanted a center, and man, I was preoccupied and wasn't able to watch a lot of the day 2 selections. But when I looked at my phone and saw the Steelers got Zach Frazier at 51, man, bro, I was ecstatic, man. Because, like I said, I knew we needed a center. I thought we may try to take one in the first. And because you're rolling the dice. Is one of your top 3 centers going to be available at 51? But what happened? What happened? What happened that helped lead to that for the Colts and for the Steelers? 6 of the top 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah, about to say six the quarterbacks go and open the door for a lot of folks, right?
When you have so many QBs taken early, it pushes down the other position players further down, further down, further down. That's where the Colts get the number 1 defensive player on their board and Latu, and the Steelers are able to hold on and get Zach Frazier at 51, man. So, yeah, I was thrilled to get him, man, and Peyton Wilson at 98. Man, dude, and you know, we did our mock drafts, and both drafts that I did, I selected Peyton Wilson at 51. You know, so I selected them both at 51.
Yep. Yep.
And then the fact that you get him in 98 when you needed a linebacker who can cover and who has speed and just adding depth to that position, man. And this dude was the Bednarik Award winner, the Buck Award winner. Yeah, I'm thrilled, man. I'm thrilled, as you can see. Omar Khan and Andy Waddell and assistant GM, like what they've done in their 2 years has been remarkable. It really has.
Nah, yeah, they deserve all the praise, man. That they killed it. But what about you? Who is a team that, you know, obviously outside of your Steelers, you sat back and were like, man, I like what they're doing.
Man, you know, actually, I'm gonna stay in state and highlight the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, the Eagles getting Quinion at 22, and then getting Cooper DeJean at 40. Yeah. Like for real. I mean, we're talking about prior to the draft, who's the best corner? And you know, people had Quinion, some people had Cooper, some people may have had, you know, Terrion Arnold. But it's like the Eagles stand pat and they get Quinion at 22, And now they had to trade up. They had to trade up to 40 to get Cooper DeJean. But it's like, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. And it was actually that was actually one of those scenarios that worked out well for the Eagles and the team they traded up to get traded up with at 40. Like they moved up to 40 to get Cooper DeJean. They traded with the Commanders. The Commanders fall back from 40 to 50, but they also picked up number 53 in a trade. So at 50, as they fall back, they get Mike Sarmastiel, the corner from Michigan, and then they get Ben Sennett. Man, so they moved back 10 spots. The Commanders did and got a corner in Sarmastiel and Ben Sennett as well to help out in the tight end.
So shout out Washington.
Washington had an excellent job. You know, you talked about them a lot during the draft as they were making selections. Like, man, Washington's killing it. So the Eagles, man, getting Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, two playmakers on that defensive side of the ball. When last season, they had the 7th fewest INTs. They only had 9 all season. And we know how bad that secondary was at times, how bad that defense was in general. They go get Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator for them this year. And I just love what they did on that side of the ball, helping that defense to help get more splash plays, help get the ball back for their offense. They only had 9 and 23. They had 17 and 22. So they went from the sixth most INTs in 2022 to the seventh fewest INTs in 2023. So getting Mitchell and DeJean was huge. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they got Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson, yep, in the fourth round. That fits them so well. You know, we've seen that Eagles where, you know, Boston Scott recently signed with the Rams. You've seen them have Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell. And, you know, they've done well with Swift. They do an excellent job with those backs who were able to catch the ball out the backfield. And Shipley is one. They go get a Nia Smith receiver from Texas A&M, another playmaker who can return and just electric when you get the ball in his hands. They get him in the fifth round. So I just like what the Eagles did from a playmaking standpoint on offense with Shipley and Smith, and on defense with Mitchell and DeJean, man. What are your thoughts on that Eagles as those selections that they highlighted?
No, yeah, I thought they killed it. That they were one of the other teams I had marked down. You didn't even mention, I think Jalix Hunt is a
brilliant
pick too. And then Johnny Wilson was someone I thought would go sooner too. I mean, the Eagles, man, but yeah, it's those first two, getting Mitchell and DeJean. Mm-hmm. That cornerback room, Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Gardner Johnson, safety corner, defensive back in general, and then they go and get arguably the two best corners in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, man. I mean, yeah, it's hard not to just give them like a giant A plus plus for that. I mean, especially,
right?
Like you said, getting Quinyon, first of all, at 22 is someone. I mean, there were multiple mocks who thought he could go to like 8 to Atlanta.
Wow.
Like, there's a lot of folks that had him really high. And Cooper, like you said, it was like your favorite flavor, right? It was like, do you like Cooper? Do you like Terry? And do you like Quinyon? And they get two of them. I mean, yeah, it's every year it feels like Roseman. They just seem to get it over there, man. It just seems like it always just goes well for them. It feels like every year we look at Eagles like, golly, how does their roster look so good?
Man, and those guys look like Eagles. Like, and when those names were selected, like, man, I can see them in that green. You know, I can see them, man. And you ain't got to come in on this, man. But I'm going to say it because I really believe, like, man, if Cooper DeJean was black, he would have been in the top 20. I promise you. I don't know what it is, but it's like, oh, he's a white corner.
Yeah, because nobody thinks he can play corner. They all want to move him to safety. Yeah.
Dude, I promise you.
Fangio is going to move him all over that defense. He's going to do everything for
him. He will, too. He's going to be a stud, man, because he reminded me a lot of Jabril Peppers. You know, Peppers played some corner, played some safety in college, and he comes out. Well, Jabril Peppers went, for one, Cooper DeJean is taller. He's slightly bigger, and he ran a faster 40, and he's that versatile type of playmaker like Peppers was. Well, Peppers went first round and 25th overall in 2017, but the Eagles got to trade up to 40 to get Cooper DeJean. Like, I'm man, yeah, the Eagles have really snagged an excellent class. I wouldn't be surprised. Like you said, Fangio, man, Vic Fangio is going to be licking his chops.
You know he's happy.
Yeah, wow. Wow, what a move. What an excellent, yeah, excellent, man. And like you said, the guys that you mentioned, Hunt, and, man, just the Eagles are going to be tough. I mean, I love what they did, man. And as you mentioned, they seem to really, on these last couple years, hone in on certain guys that just make sense and it fits what they're trying. You know, they bring guys from winning programs. They bring high, like, just real top-notch studs. Specifically on that defensive side of the ball, you know, so the Nolan Smiths and the Jalen Carters and wow, the Eagles do it again, man. But for real, I mean, you know, I talked about Cooper DeJean, and man, I was like, I love him at having at 20. You know, I would love to steal it, and that's what I was hoping
for.
Somebody, man,
I could see us getting at 15. I would have hated, like, I would have, but I was like, get him at 15. I was like, preferably trade back to the 20s, get him, but nah. Yeah. Eagles just come up and get him in the second. I'm like, shoot, man, that's crazy.
So the Eagles get Quinyon Mitchell. Then you got Terrion Arnold to the Lions. You have Nate Wiggins to the Ravens. You have and then you finally get Cooper DeJean that the Eagles had to trade up to acquire. But it's like, man, how is that dude still available that late? Mm. Like I said, I think we know why. So, man, as we talked about some of those surprising picks, we talked about teams that we highlighted that did well, and, you know, like I said, there's several others, but it was two that we really wanted to pinpoint and just address those, and they happen to be both in the state of Pennsylvania. But as we talk about this segment, as I like to call sour to sweet, and that's exactly how we're going to start it, sour to sweet. So I want you to tell me a pick that the Colts made that it's like I'm not too thrilled about that selection. Hey, we'll see. You know, they saw something. But give me who your sour pick is, and we'll talk about that. And then the next level will be bittersweet, a selection that you're in. Hey, I like it, not love it. And then obviously your pick that you absolutely love will be your sweet pick. So your sour selection that the Colts made. Give me your sour pick in NFL draft for the Indianapolis Colts.
So yeah, my sour pick is not going to be a guy that anybody's going to recognize unless you just happen to be a Marshall fan. But it's Micah Abraham. He's a cornerback out of Marshall. Took him in the sixth round. So, I mean, you can't be too upset about day three guys. I get that. But it's, man, he's probably the lowest, you know, we talk every year the Colts get. It's almost a meme at this point how athletic our draft classes are, right? Like, we just draft these athletic monsters. This guy had a 3.7 RAS, which for anybody familiar with what the relative athletic score is it's generally just a composite score that shows you, it compares a player amongst their position. Basically, it gives them an athletic grade depending on their testing, their size, a bunch of stuff. A 3.7 is like absurdly low. It's like he doesn't even look like an NFL athlete level of low, right? Mm. And so he's 5'9", 185 pounds. He's a corner. He's tested horribly in just about every test. But that said, he was an absolute ball hawk in college. So it's like, I get why we would take him, because even with all that, you know, he had 55 pass breakups and 12 interceptions in his time at Marshall. Yeah. Like, he very, 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 or a lot of ball production, I guess, is I should say. And it is impressive, but it's hard for me to look at all the, there's nothing that really like stands out to me. Like, if you're going to be that small and lacking some of these traits,
you better make.
It's hard for me. Yeah, it's hard for me to see if he is really able to make that up on the NFL level. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, maybe play special teams. I'm like, well, usually you want someone who can get out there quick, and so that's the one I'm not sure about. Yeah. I mean, I like I said, it's a sixth rounder. I'm not going to be that upset about it, and I genuinely trust Chris Ballard, our GM. But that was one that was. I mean, I've told you off the show how against the grain I thought this draft was for our GM. I thought it was very out of character for the most part. But
why do you think that was? Is it more influence from the head coach? And what do you think
it is? I think it's a little bit of that. And for folks, which is totally fair, not super keen on us. But like I said, we generally draft a lot. We value traits and tools over production more often than not is the way that our picks have fallen. But not the case this year. In the first round, Latu, you know, still an athletic freak, but like Dallas Turner checked. I would have bet a lot of money Dallas Turner was a Colt at 15, you know, and that's not what we went with the production instead. Number two, we get Adonai Mitchell, who normally, you know, with some of the effort issues and things like that, I don't think we would touch. We took him. And stuff like that, I think, is where, yes, having Steichen, who has like a no-nonsense, we saw it, you know, with cutting or suspending two players last year and they still don't even say what happened. Like, he does not play around. Like, you need to put in effort, and to his credit, he's gonna have to compete with Alec Pierce, who, okay, he might be more talented than Pierce, but Pierce gives like 200% every single play.
Yeah.
You know? And so nah, it's just against the grain, and I do think Steichen has a lot to do with it. I mean, we took Josh Downs last year, which I told you was surprising. We had never taken a receiver that small under Ballard. So Adonai Mitchell is more box wise, trait wise, is more of a Ballard receiver, but just the other stuff had me not sure that we would take him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a lot of it probably has to go to Steichen. That would be my guess. But what about you, man? That's my sour. Sixth rounder, so I can't. I really like our draft class overall. So this one tough for me, right? But what about you? Was there someone, one of your picks? Even, you know, we're giving the praise to your draft class, but was there someone you were just like, I'm not so sure about that?
Man, it's funny you highlight the sixth round, because that's exactly where I'm highlighting our selection. 178, Logan Lee, defensive lineman from Iowa. The reason why I have him as my sour pick is because I wanted a different player altogether, and it's a player I wanted pretty much since the second round. Like, no lie. Well, I'll pull out this. Like I said, Zach Frazier at 51 was excellent. Like, that's the pick. That was the pick. It was just all about would it get there. You know what I'm saying? Jackson Powers Johnson went 44 to the Raiders. You had Graham Barton go 26 to the Buccaneers. So it's like you have one center left, and that's your guy that you love, and he fell to you at 51. So, I was a guy that I was this high on, dating back to the second round, he was still available in the sixth. And every pick that we had, I was hoping his name would be called, man. DJ James, corner from Auburn, man. I still don't understand why he lasted as long as he did. I mean, even to the point where the Seahawks took the other Auburn cornerback. They took Nehemiah Pritchett in the fifth round at 136. Only to wait 56 selections later and still get DJ James. You know what I'm saying? Like, between the two, there's nobody that watched Auburn football that would say, give me Nehemiah Pritchett over DJ James. There's nobody that would say that. I mean, ever. So how in the world does, man. So we took Logan Lee, defensive lineman from Iowa, and it's not a need position. It's just a position you like to have. You want to have bodies. You know, you want to have bodies, and you got some aging group, as you know, like Cameron Hayward and Ogunjobi, who's battled injuries a couple years ago and stuff. But man, we need corner. And now there's rumors or talks of Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan that they met with Cameron Sutton, who was recently released from the Lions. So maybe that's why it's like, hey, and corner's not as big of a need as y'all think, because maybe Cameron Sutton's coming back to Pittsburgh. And if that's the case, then great. That's wonderful. Well, at this current time, though, like I said, in the draft, DJ James was still available, and I thought he was a second-round pick. You know, for some reason, I could see him at the Ravens. But the Seahawks took him, and the Seahawks love their Auburn guys. As I mentioned, they took Nehemiah Pritchett, 136. Yep. DJ James, 192. Last year, they took Derek Hall in the second round, number 37 overall. That's three Auburn players in the last two drafts from the Seahawks. And but yeah, man, that's my sour pick, Logan Lee, defensive lineman from Iowa.
Okay, so and DJ James was someone we talked about.
Yeah,
right. So that, that's yeah. Hey, that tracks, man. That tracks.
Sixth round. I thought it would be a second, third round. Like no, there's no way he falls. I'm still. I've been digging, trying to find homework. Like, what's the deal? How come he lasts this long? And. But yeah, that's my sour pick, man. Now, for your bittersweet selection, a pick that you that you like but you don't really love, give me who your bittersweet selection is for the Colts.
And so I'm gonna go back to that, to Auburn, man. Jalen Simpson would be that guy for me.
Yeah.
I like the pick. I get why we did it. He's a versatile, and Chris Ballard has been someone in our draft class, really, we've taken a couple guys that, you know, versatility is a strength there. He's played corner, he's played safety. A little bit undersized, but really good mover. Like, yeah. I get why they did it. But Tyrann Tracy Jr. was on the board, went three picks later. Do we need a running back? No. But do I think Tyrann Tracy Jr. would have been awesome next to JT? Yes. Yeah. He was someone I took in my mocks beforehand. He was someone I've said on the show that I really liked. Yeah, I'm a big Tyrann Tracy Jr. fan. So it's less about Simpson and more about I would have really liked to have Tracy Jr. I mean, he was a converted former wide receiver, moved to running back. Like, it's just such a perfect compliment to me with our backfield. For he kind of fills in the holes that JT lacks. And so that's it for me. I get why we get Jalen Simpson, and I like it. I like his versatility. He was someone I thought arguably could have went sooner. So, I mean, I definitely can't hate on the pick at all. But one of my draft crushes, man, there's a couple I had, but Tyrann Tracy Jr. is one of them for me. Jaden Hicks, Tyrann Tracy Jr., two guys that I really, really, really liked in this draft. So the fact we could have had him in the area that I thought he would go,
oh boy,
you know, it hurts my feelings a little bit. He went three picks later, so it's just that one hurts me a little bit. But, you know, Jalen Simpson, I'm not unhappy about it, but, you know, it's like in fantasy when that guy you really like, that goes right in front of you or something like that. It's like, we could have had this dude, and I wish we did it. But, you know, hey, that's all right. Jalen Simpson, I'm still glad he's a Colt. Happy to see him. Our defensive back needed help, so I totally get it. This is, you know, personal, but
yeah.
It is what it is.
Man, you know, Jalen Simpson, man, you know, there's a couple guys, and it's hard, you know, especially at the collegiate level, unless you're at Alabama, LSU, or something like that. You know, as far as the secondary goes, Georgia. But it's like when you find a stud or two that you really like in that secondary where you trust and reliable, you're comfortable. And that's what I mentioned with you. Like, DJ James has always been a favorite of mine, since he traded from Oregon. Jalen Simpson, I liked him a lot. I always felt comfortable with him, and that's what I told you in the post-draft comments. Like, he's just he's reliable, man. He's always around the ball, a really good ball hawk, playmaker, solid tackler, regardless of size. But I know what you said. As you said, you got your crushes. Like, this is my dude. I want Tyrone Tracy Jr. Yep. He is available. Yep. He's still on the board. It would help us a whole lot in that running back room with Zach Moss leaving. It's like, now you can have another guy who, he's 6'1", 210, as you mentioned, a converted receiver, so he doesn't have that wear and tear as a normal running back would. Like,
no, perfect fit. Wow. Perfect fit in the back. But checked all the boxes of running backs that Ballard normally gets to. We haven't had that guy since Hines left. Like, it just made too much sense. He ends up going 3 picks later to the Giants, or 2 picks later, actually, to the Giants. So, you know, shout out the Giants, you know, taking Bobby from us, now you're taking Tracy Jr. But, you know, like you said, it was just one of my crushes. That's all. Hurt my feelings a little bit.
Oh, boy. I feel you. I mean, who is the number two back behind JT then? Who do you feel? I mean, who is that guy?
It's going to be a competition. I don't think it's set in stone. Trey Sermon came in, played really well last year, honestly, and he was somebody I liked in the past, and he looked pretty good for us. Evan Hull was a rookie that they were really excited about, who got hurt in the preseason, or actually before preseason, missed the season, so never got to see what he was a fifth-round rookie last year. And Tyler Goodson, unfortunately, is, you know, the bane of a lot of Colts fans, because that's the running back who didn't catch that last play that, you know, sent us home. But, you know, it'll be a competition, but it could have been Tracy, man.
Man, trust me. That's what I mentioned. Like that. Like, it hurts more when that player is taken before you, where you never know. Like, okay, was this a guy we wanted? But when he's still on the board and available,
it's like, we could have done it.
Yeah,
he was there,
and that's what this bittersweet selection is to highlight. A pick that you like, a player that you like, that your team took someone that you like, but it's not someone you love, and the player that you really wanted was actually still available. And that's what Chris mentioned. Jalen Simpson, defensive back from Auburn, still available. I mean, that's what they took, but still available was Tyrone Tracy Jr., the running back, man, and he went 2 picks later to the Giants. And so for me, man, my bittersweet selection was receiver Roman Wilson, 84 in the third round. I like Roman Wilson, and I've been watching highlights to try to sell myself. But don't get me wrong, like, I watch Michigan, and I like Wilson, like, solid player. But as you talked about, we talk about why this is called bittersweet. I like it, but I don't love it, because the person I love was still available, and he went a few picks later. Jalen McMillan, man, he went to Tampa Bay. I think he's going to ball out of Tampa Bay, dude. I really believe Jalen McMillan is going to be a nasty slot guy for Tampa Bay and Mayfield, man, and I think he's going to be a stud. I mean, as early this year, I mean, I really believe. Now, he has competition with Trey Palmer out of Nebraska there, but Jalen McMillan was my receiver that I wanted more than, like, him and McCaffrey. You know, McCaffrey went last week, third round, to the Commanders. And I never really saw Roman Wilson going to Pittsburgh. But like I said, I like the player. I mean, just phenomenal catch radius. He makes highlight plays and just really good player. It's just not what I was preferring at that time or what I was expecting. But, man, the Steelers are high on him, as you know. Tomlin's high on him, and coming from Michigan, winning a national championship. And that's my bittersweet selection, man. What are your thoughts on Roman Wilson to Pittsburgh? You know, I was high on McMillan. You know, I was high on McCaffrey. And I was cool with either one of them being in the third round. But Roman Wilson from Michigan, the receiver, is the selection.
Yeah, I like Roman Wilson a little bit more from my perspective. I do like Jalen McMillan too, so totally get that. Like you said, when you have your guys, right? I mean, it's my same thing with Tracy Jr. So I totally get it, man. I think the thing, and they're both, and you needed to fill that slot role, right? Dante Johnson gone, like, there's an opening, a clear opening there, and either one of these guys probably starts day one stepping into that role, right? And so I think the thing that probably set it apart, I'm not going to question your guys' receiver drafting over there. You guys always kill it drafting receiver, but Roman, he's just a lot of the clips you'll see of him, and when you look him up, it's like blocking clips. That dude is a mean dude. He's not a big dude, but he gets after it, man. And he's a tough competitor. Like, that's a Steeler, man. He just looks like a Steeler to me. So I totally get why they did it. Yeah. But I like you said, though, when you have your guys, I mean, that's totally fair, man.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it's a Steelers pick. You know, that's what you've said it several times in this conversation. A few analysts have highlighted, like, man, the Steelers got back to their identity and selecting Steelers. And, you know, they asked Khan and Tomlin about that. You know, was that part of the MO is like getting back to Pittsburgh? Like, man, we're always looking for Pittsburgh guys, not only on the field, but as character guys, too. And but you said it clearly, Roman Wilson. It's not a huge guy, but boy, he gets after. He takes pride in blocking.
You look at some of the blocking. He's mean, man.
He fits it, man. And that's the thing. Is like like I said, you just got your crushes. You got your guys. I mean, this is my guy. This is my dude. And he's there. He's not. But as far as you said, you need receivers who are willing to block on the perimeter in the Pittsburgh franchise, in the 49ers franchise. You better get receivers who are willing to put their hard hat on and sell it. And that's something McMillan didn't have to do a lot wasn't really known for. But Roman Wilson and that Michigan run-heavy offense under Jim Harbaugh, you better be a receiver who's willing to throw your head in there and crush it. So, yeah, I agree, man. I agree 100%. Like I said, it was just one of those where and that's what it came down. It came simply down to the crush. Like, man, the crush is still there.
Yep. No, totally.
And, but Roman Wilson is a really good player, man, and you hear him talk and how serious he is about ball, and he doesn't. It's funny, man. Like he played ball with Nick Herbig, the fourth round pick we took last year. They're both from Hawaii, man, same schools and stuff like that. So that's pretty unique to have that connection. But yeah, man, Roman Wilson was my bittersweet. And like I said, I watched Michigan and I liked him. It just came down to simply that crush. That crush was still there in the board, man. But that's my bittersweet selection for you. As we put a wrap to this segment, to this episode, your sweet selection, like your sweet spot pick for the Colts. Like, man, I absolutely love that we got this guy, and there's no one that could change it. There's nobody else I wanted at that spot. Who is your sweet spot selection?
It was tough for me to pick between the first two, to be honest. I think we nailed our first two. I'm going to go with, at round two, Adonai Mitchell, even though I was a little bit more hesitant. And I have my reservations on Mitchell.
Wow,
it's more to do with where he is, and it's more to do with – so I love Latu. And in a vacuum, no context, Latu is my favorite pick. The only reason I'm leading Mitchell here is, like, we were this close to Bowers being a Colt, and I was so excited when I saw Bowers get past Denver. I was like, oh, he's a Colt. Here we go. Hmm. Like I was already celebrating it, man. And so it leaves a little bit of there's a little bit of a taste left in my mouth from that. You know, curse Atlanta for taking a quarterback, because otherwise Raiders probably take Penix and Bowers is probably a Colt right now. But don't get me wrong, I love the Latu pick. He's already after my own heart. He got a Colts tattoo. I saw a picture of him working out. He's already got a Colts tattoo. Wow. I'm like, yeah, let's go, man.
Wow.
Let's go. And, you know, we already had a really good defensive line. Buckner, Stewart, Ebukam, Pay, and now you're throwing the best pass rusher in college the last 2 years in there. Yeah, no, totally love the pick. But the reason I really love the A.D. Mitchell pick is more of a, like, I love the gamble that we're taking.
Yeah.
He is legitimate, and I've said on this show that I wouldn't have been excited about him in the first round. That said, I totally get why, and I said it, like, I would understand why he would go in the first round. It's his talents nuts. Like, he is top 10 receiver, like number one, pure number one receiver type talent.
Mm-hmm.
He does. I mean, his size, his speed, his route running, his hands. He had the lowest drop rate in college. Like, he's a stud. The issue is, like, the production doesn't match as good as he is, right? And you look at he never hit 1,000 yards. He never was really, like, even in Texas, like, Xavier Worthy stepped on the field as a freshman, was immediately, like, their number one receiver.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, like, well, what in the world, why did that never translate? And you see it on tape where he'll take a lot of plays off. He's not a very enthusiastic run blocker. He's not a very, if he's not the go-to guy, he kind of, you know, he'll kind of sag off a little bit. He doesn't really play full speed. And it's why he wasn't even on my board. I didn't think the Colts would touch him. So I think that's why, that's where my love comes from, is I kind of respect Bowers being like, nah, it's way too good to pass. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had we taken him earlier, say, like, traded back and taken him, I would have not been a fan of this pick at all. But where we took him, we trade back to the 50s and take him there. Like, man, I get it. And compared to the other receivers left, I think there was a clear, like, as far as talent goes, a clear talent gap. And so, I mean, that's it for me. I don't know if he beats out the number two spot. Like, I I give. I know Colts fans have a lot of distaste for Alec Pierce because he hasn't really been the guy everyone's wanted him to be. But my counter to that is we haven't had a quarterback who can air it out either. We want it to be Richardson, you know. We just need him healthy, right? But talent wise, A.D. Mitchell can be Pierce and more. I mean, he can do. I mean, I know everyone's going to look at his deep threat ability, and for good reason. But he can do everything.
Yeah,
it's just getting that out of him. And I think we're the team to do it, man. Steichen, like I said, Steichen doesn't. There's not going to be any sugarcoat. If he wants to get on the field, he's going to need to put the effort in. Mm-hmm. I think Reggie Wayne. If there's ever a coach you're going to like respect and listen to, it's the guy who's a future Hall of Famer, right? And so I love the situation. I love the fit. You know, as a receiver, we needed, you know, I've told you the rules. I felt like we needed to fill offensively, and I feel like he fits one of them. Anthony Gould, our other pick, I think, fills another one. So I love that pick too. But, no, I just think it makes a lot of sense. It's just, it's a really high risk, high reward, kind of like a Latu pick, really, because we don't know with his neck, right? But the first two picks are super high risk, high reward. And if they pan out, I mean, that's going to look like a steal. And so that, I'm going to lean that way, man, just for the guts to take him there. And hey, I'm pumped for it. Let's go, Ballard. Like, screw the safe pick. Let's roll the dice and see what we can do. And I respect it.
Man, I like that. I love that pick too. When I saw that you guys got him, and you know, we had previous conversations about him, and you know, I liked him. I was like, man, I wouldn't mind him being a Steeler. I don't know where we would take him. You know, like we're not gonna take one in the first round, and in the second round, you know, it just depends on how the first round selection went. So, you know, I love Adnan Mitchell, man. I think that's a great pick as far as the skill set, as you mentioned. When you highlighted the attitude and the effort, and that's always something that. It's a red flag for me also. And so when you mentioned that, I was like, that's something that you
And I will say to his defense, and Ballard defended, I don't know if you saw the clip where Chris Ballard kind of went off in the press conference defending the character, because there's a lot of articles written that he had character issues. And he had a lot of Texas teammates come out and defend him there, and Ballard came out and defended him too. I don't think it's character issues with him. I don't think there's any issues. You don't hear a bad word about him, like in the locker room or anything. Yeah. I don't know, for whatever the reason is, he takes a lot of plays off. And that is a big red flag. But usually that goes hand in hand with like other stuff, right? And it's not the case with him. So whatever the reason is, you know, I'm hoping we can get that out of him. And if it is, and if we can, I think it's a crazy steal.
Like you said, he is in a prime position to make some plays on a team that needs it. A QB who's able to get him the ball down the field and put the ball in his hands. And, you know, you highlighted Reggie Wayne. He loved Mitchell. He wanted the guy. And,
yep.
Man, so, hey, you know, he's going to stick his neck out and do what he
That's
can.
That's the other part of it, too. He loved Josh Downs was arguably his favorite receiver in the draft. Mm-hmm. And he hit on that pretty good. So I'm like, you know what, I'll trust Reggie then.
Yeah. Hey, we shall indeed see. It's going to be pretty cool, man. I think it's going to fit. I think when I saw the selection, I was like, man, that makes sense. I could see him in that Colts uniform, man, and we'll indeed see how it plays out for Indianapolis, man. So with my sweet spot selection in the draft for the Steelers, man, third round, 98 overall, we got Peyton Wilson. Like, I mean,
I knew that was gonna be your guy.
You knew that was gonna be it, man. You really did.
Yeah, sure. Like you said, that was your double mock, man. Right?
That's true. That's true.
I could tell, man. It was just too obvious.
And so in the mock draft that we did, two of them, we did two mock drafts prior to the draft, and you know, man, I took Peyton Wilson at 51 in the second round in both drafts. And so for the Steelers to get him at number 98 overall in the third round was absolutely phenomenal. And I tell you, this is where I talk about, you hear me, man, first round, I'm not worrying about the first round. I'm trying to get to day two. That's where I'm excited. That's where you get these type of guys that really spark you and get you going, and the value and everything that comes along with it. Like, man, he could stay away, but he was still there. Why'd he fall, you know? And so last year we had Darnell Washington, who we took late in the third round, and this time it's Peyton Wilson, number 98 overall. It was the selection that we acquired for Kenny Pickett. How think about that. Think about that. This is the pick we got from Philadelphia, sending Kenny Pickett to the Eagles, and we get Peyton Wilson at that same spot. As I mentioned, Bednarik Award winner for the best defensive player of the year, Butkus Award winner for the nation's top linebacker. This is a guy who had 138 tackles, 17 and a half tackles for a loss, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions and 6 pass breakups. This is a linebacker, man. This is a linebacker. 17 and a half tackles for loss. He got 6 sacks, 3 picks, and 6 pass breakups. 138 tackles. Man, I'm telling you, that's my dude. That's my dude. As you talked about, you said you wasn't surprised because I doubled up on him in both drafts and made sure we got him. Because we needed linebacker help, but specifically we needed coverage linebacker help. Somebody who's sideline, phenomenal speed, an absolute ball hawk. Look, he has a chance to start at some point, man. I promise you, because he can do so much more. Landon Roberts is a run stuffer. Cole Holcomb is coming off injury. Quan Alexander, injury. Like, we needed coverage linebacker help and somebody who could not just – who's not just a run stuffer, but who's not just a coverage guy. Someone who could do both. And with those numbers that I highlighted and what he's capable of doing, Peyton Wilson, man. Absolutely phenomenal selection, and so yeah, that's the one I love. Now it was a struggle between Wilson and Zach Frazier. You know, I love Zach Frazier too. Getting that he was still available at 51. Peyton Wilson is that sweet spot selection for me though.
Yeah, I can't blame you. You could have chosen multiple guys from your draft. I love the Mason McCormick. I told you before that was a guy I would have loved to see in Indy. I think he's going to be a really, really good lineman too. Monster run. That dude also, you'll look up clips of, if you haven't already, if you look up clips of Mason McCormick sometime, you'll see him running alongside his running back. He's fast for a lineman. He's a big dude who can move. I think the only reason he really fell is because they didn't ask him. They didn't really pass block a lot. They didn't throw the ball a lot. They ran the ball like crazy. And so he's just, not a lot of experience there. And you got to be able to pass block. But I love that pick. I mean, that whole draft, man. You guys makes me sick, man. Makes me sick. You guys nailed the draft.
Russell Wilson, Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson, man. You got the Wilsons, man. dude, man. I'm telling you, Chris Liuzzi does his homework. I promise you, if this guy wanted to be a draft scout, if he wanted to be an NFL analyst, he could do so. Because, he does homework on so many guys that he hadn't even heard about. So, Mason McCormick, and when we selected him, I was like, I didn't know how to act or how to respond. And you had already talked about it before the Steelers made that selection. Like, man, McCormick's still there? And then when Steelers took it, man, you guys got McCormick. And I was like, oh, shoot, I don't know. That's a good thing. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how to respond or react from that selection. But, yeah, Chris, man, you're top-notch when it comes to your analysis and your take. And, man, I look forward to seeing how both of our teams, with the rookies that were selected, and obviously this is still the offseason, there's plenty more to be had as far as trade rumors and guys that have been on the block. And, man, I just appreciate the insight and expertise that you bring to this Sweet Spot podcast. And, man, I look forward to doing it again soon.
Likewise, man. It's always fun. My coworker Ricky, I was picking on earlier about the Falcons. He calls it Christmas. The draft is Christmas time, and everybody's excited. Open the presents under the tree. All the new players. It's such a fun time, and now we get a lot of time to look up highlights. Everybody's hopeful. Like you said, everybody loves their draft class. Right? No one's upset. Everyone except for maybe some Falcons fans. For the most part, everybody loves their draft. So I feel the same way. It's fun to watch. It's fun to talk about, and always fun to talk about with you, man. I'm looking forward to the next time, and yeah, can't wait to do it again.
And as I always say, there's nothing better than being in the sweet spot.